us by April's testimony?
Yeah. Thank you.
Between us, how high the mountain I set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living home. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living home. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Came the morning that sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave. Set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Dear, my living hope.
May be seated. Good singing. If you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, we'll be in Isaiah, in the Old Testament, starting at chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. If you don't have your Bibles, it'll be up here, and I'm going to have to work with you guys because I don't have the flipper today, okay? What we're going to do for the sake of time, let's go to verse 6, okay? I'll explain the context. Thank you. We talked about light and darkness today. And by the way, Advent is a term that was coined around 380 AD at a council of churches in Spain. And they came together and they said, you know, we want to honor the birth of Christ. And we want to make each week leading up to the celebration of that birth special. So they said, let's call this time Advent. And all Advent means is the arrival. That's the title of the cantata, right? The arrival, the Advent, the first coming of Jesus Christ into this dark, sin-sick world. Now, there's going to be two Advents, by the way. We celebrate the birth of Christ, but we also, in some sense, are already celebrating the day he returns for the second time. That's another special Advent that we learned a lot about in Thessalonians and Revelation. Now, what causes darkness in the world? Sin. Sin causes darkness in the world. There's no two ways around it. Sin. Now, who are the causes of darkness? We are. Because we're born with a sinful nature. We know that. The root of every sin is pride, by the way. Where there's pride, if you've ever been with somebody who's either self-righteous or very prideful, there's just this feeling of darkness that you get around them. And what are some of the dark things we see around us? You can go and look at the news when you get home and you see all the darkness. You can read the Lacey Patch and see the darkness that's around. Now, darkness is a very real thing. The Bible recognizes darkness as sin, as the cause, evil, godlessness. I mean, you name it. It all contributes to darkness. Now, here's my question. My question is, you and I know that we live in a culture now. Some of that, part of that culture wants to get rid of God. I want to suggest to you that as historians look back on our time, the way it stands right now, that they will record these last 30 years at least, and I don't know how many more to come, as a dark time in American history for a lot of reasons. The primary reason is the fact that we live in a culture that wants to shove God out of the picture. Here's the problem with it. There is only one hope. There is only one true light. We read that in the scripture this morning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Right? And then a couple of verses later, it says, He is the light in the darkness. The darkness could not extinguish him, even though we're trying. Isn't that something? He will never be extinguished. As bad as our culture gets, God's going to have the final word. As bad as our culture gets, Jesus is going to have the final word. Now listen, this is not only applies to us corporately and culturally, it applies to us individually. You heard great testimony of how when the world looked pretty dark, that there was a light, the light of hope. I want to suggest to you that that hope is not a wishy-washy hope. That hope is a hope that is firmly planted in the promises of God in Jesus Christ. So, I don't have to hope for the return of Jesus. I know he's coming. Correct? Amen. All right? I don't have to hope for my salvation. That's already been accomplished on the cross 2,000 years ago. But I put my faith in the sure hope that's already been accomplished. When Jesus died on that cross and when he rose 3 days later, then the light of the world was victorious over sin, darkness, Satan, the author of darkness, right? And the grave. Wow. The background on these verses is simple. The northern kingdom of Israel was invaded as a judgment by God by the Assyrians, and they were invaded because Israel refused to repent of all their sin and turn to God. They absolutely refused. And basically, God said to them, you want to live in darkness? Have it your way. Have it your way. You want to live in darkness? Have it your way. In fact, the first three chapters of Romans says that to us today. God many times will say, you want to live in darkness? Go right ahead. Go right ahead. We think we're happy, but we're not. We think we can get away with stuff, but we won't. Jesus says that we love the darkness when we don't want anybody else to see what we're doing. Isn't that the nature of sin sometimes? We don't want anybody else to see what we're doing. This whole thing of darkness and light is right from the fall of Adam and Eve, right through the last chapter of Revelation. And so, Israel, the northern kingdom in particular, is living in a period of darkness. Judges describes it this way: everybody did what they thought was right. Not what God thought was right, but what they thought was right. The southern kingdom was right behind them. The southern kingdom was entering into a period of rebellion against God and judgment, and ultimately God sent the Babylonians in as a judgment and dispersed them. But God never brings discipline or judgment without hope. Did you ever notice that? He never does that. And this prophetic portion of scripture is Isaiah saying to a rebellious nature, listen, we caused the darkness. We caused the problem. God wants you to come back in repentance and faith. And he's going to have a solution for all of this. It's not going to happen right now, but it's going to happen in the future. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. There's a light who's going to be brought into this world. And it's not a wishful hope. This is a sure hope based on the promise of God. And so in verse 6, he says, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Whoa. Well, that's stupid. How can a child change the world? We were expecting a different type of Messiah, God. We were expecting the Messiah who was going to come in and correct all my problems. Correct all the problems of the world, defeat the enemies, put us in a good economy, give us whatever we wanted, but a baby? How stupid is that? God, I don't like your plan. And God just says, no. The hope of the world, the light of the world, is going to be born into a humble family. A carpenter, and his teenage wife. And they're not even going to be, the king of the universe is going to be born in a stable, a cave with animals. But he's given as a gift of God because he will grow up. And ultimately, the government of the world will be on his shoulders. Can you imagine that? We got leaders, political leaders in this world who can't even handle what they got. And ultimately, in the second advent, the second coming of Christ, he's going to rule the world. Unbelievable. You know what's even more mind-boggling than that? Revelation says that those of us who've trusted with him are going to come back with him and have a part in that. I can't imagine it. Me? I can't even rule my own life. I'm going to have a part of that. But he says he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. I want you to see something here. And here's the way I want you to remember it, okay? When you see a candle, when you see a Christmas light, this is what it represents, the light of hope. It's not just a decoration. I mean, we have some fake candles up here, and that's fine. But when you see a candle, it should remind us that Jesus is the light of the world. He is our only hope in this crazy society. You see, the light of Jesus will bring us out of our chaos into peace. Darkness is chaos. Sin is chaos. Watch a soap opera. Only one. If you haven't seen it in 30 years, you could pick up where it was. You see, but what's a soap opera? What's in a soap opera? Infidelity, lying, deceit, cheating, murder. All of that's in the Bible, by the way. First murder happened right after the fall between who? Cain and Abel. Cheating and lying became a way of life for Abraham and his sons, didn't it? I mean, watch a soap opera, and this is what the world celebrates. We've become a voyeuristic world, a voyeuristic culture that likes to watch other people's misery when we're living in our own misery. Isn't that true? Only Jesus can take us out of that and give us peace. Tommy is our lighthouse aficionado, right? He's been, how many lighthouses have you seen? 238 lighthouses. What's the purpose of a lighthouse?
To aid navigation.
All right, especially when?
Especially in a storm.
The light of a lighthouse to guide us into a safe harbor, especially in a storm. One of the problems, even as believers, that we have is that the light of Christ is always offering to pull us out of the chaos, the darkness that we might be experiencing. And by the way, before I go there, let me tell you that other people's sin can cause darkness in our life. Isn't that true? God forbid you go out of here today, you get hit by a drunk driver, okay? Your spouse cheats on you. Other people's sin can put us into darkness, correct? So, having said that, there's always that light that invites us to take our shelter in Jesus Christ, to rest in Him. The problem is, will we follow that by faith? Will we respond? Where there is peace, there's also joy. Notice I didn't say happiness. Where there's peace, there's also joy. Peace is settled conflict between, first of all, you and God. Jesus did that for us. And between one another. Well, that brings joy. Where there's peace, there's the absence of conflict. We don't have to live in the insanity. We don't have to live in the chaos if by faith we follow the light of the world, Christ. Secondly, the light was born into darkness in very humble circumstances. You know that. Jesus was born to Mary and Joseph. Joseph's stepfather, Mary, his mother. A carpenter and a teen bride, the light of the world was born by the light of a special star. That's no accident. That's no accident. The special star appears. And there were several men, probably in the area of India, who saw this phenomenon. They were astrologists, they were scientists, they were astronomers. I mean, these were scholars. They weren't even Jews. But when that light appeared, the scripture says they knew God was active again. You know why? Because they knew the scriptures and the prophecies. They knew the promise of God that in a dark world, He was going to send light. So by faith, what did they do? They embarked on a long journey, and I'm telling you, a long journey, and they followed the light right to who? The light of the world. Whoa. Gentiles, pagans, attracted by the light. And this light of heaven had a special purpose. It says, He's called Wonderful Counselor. You know what a counselor does? What does a counselor do? He gives you guidance, right? Wisdom, right? Listen, I'm a big fan of counseling. Very big fan. You find a godly counselor, man, there's nothing wrong with going to counseling. But that wisdom comes from God, the light of the world in His scriptures. Also says He's mighty God. This is Jesus, mighty God. Born in humble circumstances, didn't conquer the human heart with armies or with force, but He conquered them with love. The mighty love of God. That's what makes Him mighty. On this Advent, on the second Advent, it's going to be a little different. Well, God's kingdom is mighty. I don't care what happens in the government. I do care. But listen to what I'm going to say. Whatever happens in the government, however they ultimately they may try to suppress God, get God out of the picture, here's what's going to happen. Nothing and no one will ever stop the love of Christ. Will never happen. You know why? Because people like you and I are going to be out there loving other people with the love of Christ. We are the body. And when we are the ones who will reflect the light of the world to others. So it doesn't matter what they do. We need to be faithful to what we've been called to do. Jesus came to conquer the human heart with love. And not a love that says, you're okay. It's a love that says you got a problem. And that problem is darkness. It's sin. But I've come to pay the price in full for that problem because I love you. I will die for you because I love you. And that's what happened on the cross. He will rule ultimately for all eternity. Right now, for those who have trusted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, he rules in the human heart. True? We try to shove him off the throne sometimes, don't we? But he rules in the human heart. But there will come a time where he will reign from the throne of David on this earth for 1,000 years. I can't imagine that. He is the perfect and eternal Father, everlasting. He had no beginning, will have no end. Jesus always was, is, and will be. When he comes back the second time in that advent, he's going to right all the wrongs. Listen, for those of you who have been around the block a little bit and see how we have been on a downward moral spiral in this country. You know, some of us will sit here and we will say, you know, it's a shame what's happening and so on and so forth. And we should be dismayed about it. In our zeal, sometimes we want to see the bad guy get it now. Isn't that true? I was a big A-team fan. How many of you remember the A-team? Right? Hannibal, I love it when a plan comes together. You know, the bad guys would always get it in the end. There was another program that was on, unfortunately didn't run too long, was called Leverage, right? Leverage was when the bad guys turned out to be the good guys and they would help the bad guys. I love to see the underdog win. I really do love to see the underdog win. When Jesus comes back again, you know what's going to happen? The underdog's going to win. We won already, but the underdog's going to win. He's the everlasting Father, and then he's the Prince of Peace. I think tonight on one of the networks, there's going to be a program aired about the greatest Christmas lights or something like that. Did you see that advertised? I can't remember what it is, because it's going to be who has the best setup, the brightest, the most, and this and night. Remember back to 2013 when a lot of us lost power for a long time? Just the light of one candle brought hope. Brought hope, the light in the darkness. We had to figure out what to do without television, right? We had to figure out how we're going to, you know, even see when the sun goes down. But we survived many times because of one light, one candle. I can't emphasize this enough. When you see a candle, when you see a Christmas light, that should be representative of the light of the world. There used to be a family on Bay Avenue. I don't know if you remember. They used to have this incredible setup. Do you remember that? Do they? I'm not sure if they're still there. I mean, planes could land. You know, that's how bright it was. You actually had a box in front of his house to help pay the electric bill, and if you would donate, right? And it was nice of him to do that, and kids enjoyed it and all. There's nothing wrong with that. But as much joy as those decorations bring this holiday season, how much more should the light of the world bring to us? So let me leave you with a couple of questions. Where are you today? Are you getting discouraged by the darkness? Are you getting discouraged because of circumstances, worry, other people? Or are you looking at the light? Are you looking at the hope? Are we trusting God in the process, knowing that God is still in control, even though we feel like he may have abandoned us? Knowing that God has our back, we don't fully understand it, don't know how it's going to go, but ultimately, he's going to have the final word. The second question is this: will we let the light of Christ shine through our hearts, through loving obedience to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? You see, he's the light of the world. As we come to the communion table, you see the candles behind me. And the communion table was given to us as another remembrance that Jesus is the light. It is to remind us so that if we should get lost in circumstances and become, as a result, joyless, confused, doubting, that God stands ready to embrace us if we just come back to him in repentance and faith. That's good news for me. What about you? I'm going to ask the ushers to come. We're going to pass out the bread, which represents the broken body of Christ. We're going to wait upon you now for the fellowship fund offering. Benevolence fund, I'm sorry. Offering which is used to help people in need, especially this time of year. As you feel led, would you give it? Give to it? And I'm going to ask that we could chew gum at the same time, right, and stand. Would you stand? Bill was gracious enough this week to include one of my favorite songs. And this is going to lead us into next week because the second Sunday of Advent, the theme of that is promise. We can have hope because of the promises of God. So let's shout to the Lord. Amen.
days. I want to praise the wonders of your mighty bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. To the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in. Nothing compares to the promise I have in. Nothing compares to the promise I have in.